Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Aaron Shafewalaf, and we are continuing our talk on the subject of deception and the difference between honest ignorance and outright lying. And we would like to start off today reading a quote from a Mormon 70 by the name of John Morgan. He gave this talk back in August 17th of 1879, where he said, "Let us, as honest men and honest women, lay down all prejudice and malice and examine the principles of truth and righteousness as they are placed before us, and as the light and intelligence of the Holy Spirit will show them unto us, for they will lead and guide us back to the presence of our Father and our God. The truth will hurt no man." However, when it comes to Mormon history, we find that that's not always been the practice of the LDS Church. And many times the history has been airbrushed in order to make it more palatable, or as Mormons call it, faith-promoting. Boyd K. Packer, who serves as a Mormon apostle, gave a talk, he actually wrote a book called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And on page 106, he said this. He said, "There is a temptation for the writer or the teacher of church history to want to tell everything, whether or not it is worthy or faith-promoting. Some things that are true are not very useful. Historians seem to take great pride in publishing something new, particularly if it illustrates a weakness or mistake of a prominent historical figure." Packer went on to say, "The writer or the teacher who has an exaggerated loyalty to the theory that everything must be told is laying a foundation for his own judgment. He should not complain if one day he himself receives as he has given. Perhaps that is what is contemplated in having one's sins preached from the housetops." What do you have to say about that, Aaron?
I'll add another quote. Okay. Armand Moss, "As the LDS Church attempts to put forth a media-friendly image, it tries to hide its rather unique past. Unfortunately, many young people grow up in the LDS faith and learn only the homogenized version of Mormon history. Those who have intellectual curiosity will inevitably run across discrepancies, and many of those will lose faith in a religion that claims to be the one true church, and yet is not totally honest about its own history." This is an internal observation. I mean, this is something that those internal to Mormonism are realizing. A recent interview that Boyd K. Packer had with the documentarian Helen Whitney, she did the PBS special on the Mormons. Mm-hmm. She said, "Is there a conflict between a faith-promoting work of scholarship and factual scholarship? Is there a conflict at all?" Boyd K. Packer says, "There can be. Some things that are true aren't very useful." He repeats that line. Mm-hmm. "And there are those in the past who have looked at the leaders of the church, for instance, and found out that they're human and want to tell everything. There are steps and missteps that don't help anything. Some think that, to be totally honest, they have to tell everything. They don't. If they've got the mindset for that, then they're always grumbling. They have an appetite for it. They're free to do that, but it isn't really productive. It doesn't make anyone really happy, anybody happy. Someone you knew, say, when you were in college, made a terrible mistake. You knew it, and it was forgiven and lived beyond. There's little purpose in going back and digging that out and speaking of it when their children might be present. A lot of things that are true historically aren't very useful and don't generate happiness."
The problem I have with that statement, Aaron, is the fact that he talks about a person in college who did something and then repented of it and got on with their life. A lot of these things that people find about Mormon leaders, they never repented of those issues. We've never find Joseph Smith repenting of some of the things that he did. The Mormon Church loves for its people to repent, but the leadership, that's a whole other subject. Have you ever in General Conference ever heard a Mormon leader talk about their shortcomings?
I haven't.
I have never. And they always talk as if they are foibles, looking down.
But nothing serious.
Oh, yeah, silly little things. But certainly, I know in listening to many Christians speak, I know myself when I speak, I'm not afraid to let people know, look, I'm a fallen human being. I have certainly done sinful things. I have my shortcomings. I have my sins.
You have your struggles in the present.
Exactly. But I never hear this kind of honesty coming from General Conference. And how many times have we talked to Mormons on the street where they actually believe, for instance, I remember in talking about this idea of being, you know, perfect as Mormons understand it. Do you know of any perfect Mormons or sinless Mormons? And I would actually be told, well, Gordon Hinckley. And I bet you if Gordon Hinckley was alive and you could confront him face to face and ask him if he didn't have his sinful, you know, dark side, if he was being honest, he would have to admit he does just the same as everybody else.
Let's think of some specifics for people. What are some things that we wish in the history manuals or manuals that address historical matters within Mormonism, what are some key things we wish that they would be clear enough about that the Mormon membership as a whole would just become common knowledge?
Boy, you didn't prep me for this. I think one of the things that always bothers me when it comes to their historical issues, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think the two biggies are probably the polygamy issue and the revelation allowing blacks to hold the priesthood.
The teachings of the prophet Brigham Young. You could read that entire book and assume that Brigham Young was monogamous.
Oh, the gospel doctrine manual you're about. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
you would.
Even the recent Joseph Smith manual, you could read it and perhaps you could think that maybe this was sort of a platonic sealing thing. It wasn't actually like real polygamy in any sort of, you know, further sense.
And when they do that, doesn't that do exactly what we talked about last time with Robert Matthews, that when you say something and you only tell half the story and the person draws the wrong conclusion, that you've told a lie? So basically we have church manuals that are fostering this type of deception.
You have the artwork. And I think people blame this on the artists. They're not official leaders. Well, I mean, they're being commissioned often to paint this stuff, or their stuff's being purchased to use. I mean, come on, get the word out. Here's a big example. How did Joseph Smith translate the gold plates? And the artwork basically has him staring directly at the plates, kind of looking like he's doing a traditional translation.
And that's why I think when we talk to them and we explain, well, you know, he had a seer stone and a hat, they look at you like, what are you, you crazy?
So I'll give an example of how this works for me when I talk to Mormon strangers and then acquaintances and friends. With Mormon polygamy polyandry, with Joseph Smith, I mean, his polygamy polyandry. Joseph Smith had 34 wives, 11 of whom were already married to living husbands when he married them. I call it three stages. The first stage is to say, no, 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 no. That's an anti-Mormon lie from the pit of hell. What a malicious, horrible thing to say. I can't believe you said that. What are you reading? You must be reading anti-literature. Very, very passionate response. Firm response. Stage two is, well, okay, maybe he did do that. But maybe it was platonic. Maybe it was sealing only. Maybe sort of historical revisionism, basically. That it tweaked the history to make it not so bad. And the third stage is to say, well, he did do that. And he did do those things, but it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. What I find amazing to me is how often stage one is always related. It seems it's so much more common for a Mormon to automatically say you're lying. But yet when I ask, well, have you ever seen the statement on paper that I'm quoting from? Have you ever read the book that I'm referring to? Have you ever read the sermon, for instance, that I'm citing? Well, no. You see the problem there? They haven't even read it, but they automatically assume you're lying. I have always tried to be a person who, admitting I don't know everything, if somebody says something to me that I've never heard before,
I'm going to check that out.
I'm going to say, you know what? I don't know how to answer that. I've never heard this before, but I am going to check it out, as you said. I want to look it up, and I want to find out. I want to make sure it was said. I want to, of course, make sure the context is proper and everything. And I'm willing to admit I don't know this.
Now, when Mormons are in stage one, and they vehemently reject that, you know, what I'm saying, it must be a lie, I like to ask, well, you know, it's hard to hash these things out right now. It's, you know, we're just here. This is on the fly. It's on the spot. I know I can't expect you to have a history book in your backpack. But if what I said was true, what would the implications be? Why have you responded the way you did? It seems like your conscience knows that if a man were to do something like that, it would be bad.
In other words, what I have often done when I have Mormons respond that way, I will say, I can tell by your response, you know there's something very wrong with this.
Yeah.
If I was to demonstrate to you that the statement I said, or I quoted, was actually said, and it was in its proper context, how are you going to handle that? What are you going to do with it now?
You know, in this whole three-stage issue, the internet is eating at the Mormon church, because for the first time, this stuff is just widely disseminated, easily and quickly accessible. And so you've got books like Richard L. Bushman's Rough Stone Rolling.
Correct.
One guy put it this way. He writes, this is a biography of Joseph Smith by a faithful Mormon historian. You can get in Deseret Book. But one guy put it this way. What he wrote in that book are things that you would have been fired at BYU for writing 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new method or strategy of history telling that, you know what, the cat's out of the bag. We better do some inoculation. These really hard facts that we refused to talk about in our own manuals for centuries, we're now being forced to talk about. So let's be the first to talk about them instead of critical sources, and let's make it not sound so bad.
I think what's tragic, however, and kind of scary, is the fact that for so many years the Mormon Church has allowed this kind of cover-up to go on. And I think that tells us volumes about the integrity of some of the leaders in the Mormon Church. And if a person wants to join the Mormon Church, they've got to understand, those are the guys that are in charge. If you want to belong to an organization that has that kind of history, that's your business. But I think there's a lot of people that might be disturbed by that and probably should know about that. So really, what we're doing is really the Mormon Church's job. We're trying to get this information out so that people can make a more thorough evaluation, you know, truly practice their free agency, as Mormons would say, to understand where this church is coming from, if they're going to give their whole life, their eternity, to this belief system. They need to know what it actually has to say. And that's what we're trying to do when we have programs like that and discussing this issue.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.